Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. Raqqa has been declared liberated from the hands of the Islamic State. Then I'll have your stock market report and saint of the day. Astronomers witnessed the collision of two dead neutron stars. What happened to Mandalay Bay Hotel security guard Jesus Campos? And a new ambassador to the Vatican has been confirmed. Huge news coming out of Syria today. Time, via the Associated Press, is reporting that Brigadier General Talal Sillo has confirmed the liberation of the ISIS caliphate city of Raqqa from the hands of the Islamic State by Kurdish U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. Earlier today, the city hospital, which served as one of ISIS's headquarters, was captured. In the advance on the hospital, 22 ISIS terrorists were killed. The rest of the ISIS militants were said to be cornered in the municipal stadium in Raqqa, but it is unclear if there are any left. As of now, soldiers are combing through the city looking for pockets of ISIS fighters, and residents are celebrating. One woman ripped off her burqa, kissed the ground, and started dancing. CNN reports that one of the last battles took place at the infamous Paradise Square, where public beheadings and crucifixions would be held. It was nicknamed Hell Square, as locals would be summoned by loudspeakers and forced to stay there and watch these horrific events unfold. It was clear the fight for Raqqa was winding down when only one airstrike was held in Syria on Monday, and that was nowhere near Raqqa. The last airstrike in Raqqa was on Sunday, and the Syrian Democratic Forces have not needed to request any air support since. Here are some sobering statistics from the group Raqqa is Being Slaughtered Silently about the battle for Raqqa. Since the declaration of the battle to retake Raqqa, there have been nearly 1,900 killed, thousands wounded, and 450,000 displaced residents. There were at least 3,829 coalition airstrikes and over 90 ISIS suicide attacks. 90% of Raqqa is now destroyed, including 8 hospitals, 29 mosques, over 40 schools, 4 bridges, and 5 universities. May God be with the liberated survivors of Raqqa, who have literally gotten through this nightmare with their lives and very little else. And now it's time for your market report. But first, major news was reported in the world of cell phone service providers. T-Mobile and Sprint are planning to announce a merger. Here with that story is Reuters' Fred Katayama.
T-Mobile U.S. and Sprint plan to announce a merger without any immediate asset sales. Sources told Reuters the companies want to preserve as much of their spectrum holdings and cost synergies as they can before regulators ask for concessions. Reuters reported last week that some of the Justice Department's antitrust staff were skeptical about the deal. A combination of the third and fourth largest U.S. wireless carriers would create a business with more than 130 million U.S. subscribers, just behind Verizon and AT&T. Reuters correspondent Anjali Atole got the scoop.
By not announcing divestitures initially, one, you get to keep your assets, which for Sprint, that spectrum that they have, the 2.5, could be important for 5G purposes. And you can also leave the door open to sell off things to appease regulators, which could increase your chances for deal approval.
Sources also say T-Mobile and Sprint believe that the U.S. antitrust enforcement environment has become more favorable since 2014. 3 years ago, the companies abandoned their previous effort to merge amid regulatory concerns.
Now here again is Reuters' Fred Katayama with the rundown of how the market performed yesterday.
Netflix rose after the markets closed Monday. The video streaming pioneer's quarterly profit more than doubled, and it added more subscribers than expected. Earlier, a rally in tech and bank stocks lifted Wall Street to record highs, and a jump in oil prices drove oil stocks higher. Region Atlantic Research Director Andy Caperin.
You know, by historical standards, we are late in the game. It is very rare for a rally to last this long, but the fact is, bull markets, economic recoveries, none of these things die of old age. They require some catalyst. They require something to propel them into a bear market.
Chevron and Exxon gained ground. Crude oil rallied as Iraqi forces seized the oil-rich city of Kirkuk. Apple among the biggest drivers of the NASDAQ and S&P rallies. KeyBank upgraded the iPhone maker shares to overweight from sector weight. Nordstrom shares tumbled. The upscale retailer suspended its search for a deal to go private. It was having trouble finding funding ahead of the holiday season. That also took down shares of Canada's Hudson's Bay, which is also considering going private. In Europe, the rally in oil prices lifted stocks, but the FTSE closed lower.
And now let's pull those current numbers from Wall Street. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 85 points and as of right now is up 15 points at 22,972, getting really close to 23,000. The NASDAQ yesterday closed up 18 points and as of right now is down 9 at 6,615. The S&P 500 yesterday closed up 4 points and as of right now is down 3 at 2,555. Crude oil is up 24 cents at $52.11 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed up 81 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 5. The London FTSE 100 is up 13 and the DAX in Germany is up 20. Today's quote of the day comes from St. Ignatius of Antioch. See that you all follow the bishop, even as Jesus Christ does the Father, and the presbytery as you would the apostles, and reverence the deacons as being the institution of God. Let no man do anything connected with the church without the bishop. Let that be deemed a proper Eucharist which is administered either by the bishop or by one to whom he has entrusted it. Wherever the bishop shall appear, there let the multitude of the people also be. Even as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. Coming up next in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Ignatius of Antioch. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, have you ever heard the old adage, you need to wake up and smell the coffee? Well, it's true, and I'm here to ask you to make sure the coffee you wake up to and smell is the Crusade Channel's very own gourmet blend, Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast. Our coffee is custom roasted from the finest fair trade coffee beans and is bagged for us by the Heavenly Roast Coffee Company. Order your supply of Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast today by browsing to mikechurch.com/coffee. And don't forget the Crusade Channel coffee mugs. Place your order for delicious, gourmet Crusade Channel coffee today. Today at mikechurch.com/coffee or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Ignatius was born in 35 AD and was a young convert to Christianity. He, along with St. Polycarp, was a disciple of St. John the Apostle. Ignatius was the third bishop of Antioch. He was arrested by Roman authorities and was sent to Rome for trial. During his travels, he penned 7 letters, 6 to local churches and 1 to St. Polycarp. It is in the letter to the Smyrnians that we have the first recorded reference to the Catholic Church. St. Ignatius was martyred in the Colosseum on July 6, 108. Of his impending martyrdom, he eagerly stated, "I am God's wheat, and I shall be ground by the teeth of beasts, that I may become the pure bread of Christ." St. Ignatius of Antioch, pray for us. The Associated Press reports that scientists have detected the collision of 2 dead neutron stars, which has revealed new information, not the least of which is where the origins of gold and other elements lie. University of Chicago physicist Daniel Holes.
There are 2 stars, like our sun, only much denser. What we've seen is them go around each other and crash into each other. We've seen that in gravity, in the gravitational waves, and then we've seen a bunch of light come off of that as they get ripped apart.
Most interesting aspect, which is
combining that with the gravitational wave data, we get a new measurement for the size of the universe and how quickly the universe is expanding. Not only did we detect that, but we detected this burst of gamma rays. That's also never been done before. So we now get to say when 2 neutron stars crash into each other, they create a gamma ray burst. We get to connect 2 very mysterious happenings in the universe together. And that's a big deal. It's amazing that you go from Einstein just writing these equations down 100 years ago to now we have this amazing detection, this new detection in gravitational waves, something that was thought impossible even 20 or 30 years ago. We've now done it. One thing that we've been able to do with this is test. We detected gravitational waves. We detected light. Did they go at the same speed? And we can show that they did to, you know, astonishing precision. It does seem like the speed of light really is the limit.
From a press conference in Washington, D.C., National Science Foundation Director France Cordova.
The detection made by the National Science Foundation-supported Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO, confirmed a major prediction of Albert Einstein's 1915 theory of general relativity and marked the beginning of a new field, gravitational wave astronomy.
And lastly, University of Florida professor of physics David Wrights.
we have, for the first time, seen both gravitational waves and light from the collision of two dense dead stars called neutron stars. However, to do it this time, we join forces with thousands of astronomers and many, many observatories. So we did it again, but this time we all did it. But this result provides definitive evidence for the first time that elements such as platinum, gold, uranium are actually produced in these collisions. So I'm going to take out this is my great-grandfather's gold watch. It's about 100 years old. The gold in this watch was very likely produced in the collision of two neutron stars approximately billions of years ago. We don't know exactly when. So this is really an amazing discovery.
Questions are mounting in the investigation into the Las Vegas shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Festival, when on October 1st, gunman Stephen Paddock shot into the crowd of tens of thousands of spectators, killing 58 and wounding nearly 500. Not only is the time sequence of events being called into question, but Fox News reports that Jesus Campos, the Mandalay Bay Hotel security guard who was allegedly shot before the massacre began, has gone missing. Campos was scheduled to give 5 television interviews last Thursday and abruptly disappeared right before he was scheduled to be interviewed. A text to Security Police and Fire Professionals of America representative David Hickey was sent out by an unidentified person specifying that Campos had been taken to a UMC Quick Care facility. A spokesman at the UMC Quick Care said they have no recollection about Campos having made a visit to any of their 8 facilities. But I imagine if they had voiced any recollection, that would be a HIPAA violation. Last week, Campos accepted an SPFPA Hero Award for bravery in the line of duty and had declared that he was eager to go public with his side of the story. Hickey claims that he and Campos met with MGM officials on Thursday before the scheduled television appearances. He said, quote, "We had a meeting with MGM officials, and after that meeting was over, we talked about the interviews. We went to a private area, and when we came out, Mr. Campos was gone. Right now, I'm just concerned where my member is and what his condition is. It's highly unusual. I'm hoping everything is okay with him, and I'm sure MGM or the union will let media know when we hear something." Politico reports that the Senate yesterday confirmed the appointment of Callista Gingrich, wife of former House Speaker and Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich, to the ambassadorship to the Vatican. The vote for Gingrich, who was nominated for the post in May, was split 70-23, with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and other Democrats voting in favor. It was another bloody day for Afghan police. The BBC reports that suicide bombers and gunmen stormed a police training center in the city of Gardez after having detonated a car bomb. At least 33 are dead and another 160 are injured. The local police chief was numbered among the dead. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for this attack and is also being blamed for a second ambush in the neighboring Ghazni province, which killed 21 security officials and wounded 24 more. Casualties are expected to rise from both attacks. The Associated Press is reporting that a coal mine collapsed in southeast Turkey today. Of the 7 miners rescued, 6 have died, and rescuers are trying to reach one miner trapped inside the mine. The cause of the collapse has not yet been determined. In this Celestial Musings, I have just discovered the blog at raceconscious.org. At this website is a blog post entitled Moana, Elsa, and Halloween. In this post, an ever-so-conscious, politically correct mother explains the conversations she has had with her little 5-year-old daughter about the little one's choice of Halloween costumes. Last week, in talking about racism, I explained that no matter what we do, we're going to be construed as racist. And one of the things I said was that if we participate in another's culture, then it is considered cultural appropriation and therefore racist. Well, that is exactly what is happening here. The little girl in question originally decided she wants to dress like Frozen's Elsa this year and Moana's title character next year. This mother engaged in conversations with her 5-year-old, explaining that they would have to research Moana's culture to see if they can find respectful ways to dress up like Moana so they wouldn't be making fun of her culture. Not even Moana was making fun of her own culture. Far from it, her entire goal was to restore the wayfaring roots of her culture. This poor child isn't even to the age of reason, yet this mother expects her to grasp concepts such as power and privilege carried by whiteness, and whiteness and standards of beauty. This is insanity. I realize it's been 6 months since I had a 5-year-old myself, but I have had 8 5-year-olds total so far, and I can tell you not a one of them would have been able to grasp such abstract ideas. And even if they could, they would not grasp the reasons for the level of importance that this mother seems to be giving them. And this kid doesn't either. So the mother went on to explain to her child, quote, "I don't like the idea of dressing up using the same traditional clothing that someone from Moana's culture may have worn, because that feels like we are laughing at her culture by making it a costume. A child whose family is Polynesian could dress up using that type of traditional clothing, but Moana's culture is not our culture. If you want, you could dress up as someone from one of your cultures. You could be a tango dancer from Argentina, or as Che Guevara. Otherwise, maybe you could be a modern-day Moana and dress up in the clothing you think Moana might wear today." No joke. This woman just told her 5-year-old little girl to dress up like a ruthless, murderous, Marxist dictator over a Polynesian princess. At first, I thought it a bit harsh when a certain gentleman of my acquaintance suggested this lady should have her parental card revoked. But I'm thinking he's onto something. When the little girl expressed a desire to be Elsa from Frozen this year, the mother said this: "There is one thing I don't like about the character of Elsa. I feel like because Elsa is a white princess, and we see so many white princesses, her character sends the message that you have to be a certain way to be beautiful or to be a princess, that you have to have white skin, long blonde hair, and blue eyes. And I don't like that message. You are white, like Elsa. If you dressed up as a character like Moana, who has brown skin, you would never change your skin color. But I'm not sure I like the idea of you changing your hair color to dress up as Elsa, because I think Elsa's character could also be a short, brown-haired character like you." And in true child fashion, the poor kid just reiterates that she wants the long blonde braid. Seriously, Mom, calm down. Quit overthinking it, or you're going to turn your child into a quivering mass of jelly, afraid to say or do anything for fear of giving offense or being offended. So do you want to know how it all turned out? You know you do. The little girl decides to stick with Elsa this year and insists upon the long blonde braid, much to her mother's chagrin. She also decides to ditch Moana for 2018 in favor of Mickey Mouse. Racially conscious mom is thrilled and tells her daughter, quote, "That is a great solution. And with Mickey Mouse, we don't have to worry about making fun of anyone or dressing up as a culture different from our own, because Mickey Mouse is a pretend mouse." Somebody please save this child from her mother's pretend mind. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Keep yourself tuned in to the Veritas Radio Network, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel, serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News, live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.